Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Money and Change. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we are here with Stu Scheer. Hello, Stu.
Hey, Ira, how are you doing on this wonderful, wonderful day?
I am glad the rain has finally stopped falling and we can get a chance to warm up a little bit again.
I know. I had to go outside and I'm looking around. I'm going, did this grass suddenly grow 3 feet overnight?
Yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but here in Ohio, I'm going to have a hay baler hooked onto my mower.
It is definitely getting crazy with it, yes.
It's getting that bad, especially when the guys come in and they fertilize the lawn, you know. And they come in 4 times a year, and every time they do it, 2 things happen. The yard grows like crazy, and then I start getting crabgrass. And I don't know if they're trying to tell me to buy their crabgrass additive or something. I don't know.
A little bit of that inserted in. You get a little crabby about your crabgrass, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want any in my yard. I'm very particular about that because once it takes hold, it's like forever to get rid of it.
Yeah, it's a nightmare to get rid of, yeah.
You know, so anyhow. No, it's a nice day out. We need that. I mean, we had nothing but rain for the last, I don't know, what was it, 3 days?
It was that way here, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're only, about 2 hours apart?
Yeah.
Basically. So, you know. Anyhow, it's great to have a little bit cooler weather than what we had back in early July and late June. But it's great to be on the air. And, you know, we got some shout-outs. And it's great to have WCET FM 101.7 Columbia, South Carolina covering the show. It's great. And we've been on them how many months?
I think about 7 or 8 months now, yeah.
7 or 8 months, yeah, on WCET FM 101.7 Columbia Talks. So, if you're in the Columbia, South Carolina area, a big howdy from Indiana and Ohio. And we really appreciate WCET for carrying the show. Also, High Point Radio. They're a new one for us, and they cover northern New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. And so that's great that we're getting out there. So big hats off to High Point Radio. Another big shout-out to the University of Findlay, and check them out at www.findlay.edu. It's a good school, reasonably priced. And so if your son or daughter are looking to go on to college in a nice town called Findlay, Ohio, the University of Findlay is a nice place to go. And if they're into sports, hey, football, basketball, wrestling, they've got it, and they're good at what they do. So you want to check them out at www.findlay.edu. Also, if you go to moneyandchange.weebly.com, and you go to the home page, there'll be an education section. Click on that, and you will see videos of the University of Findlay and some of the descriptions of what goes on campus. And you can check that out at Money and Change. That's MoneyandChange dot Weebly. That's WEEBLY.com. Check it out. Also, big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Man, I'll tell you, Ira, you will agree with me that some of the pens that this guy makes is fantastic.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah, I'm like, wow, how did he do that?
I saw the process. And some of the stuff that he puts together, I mean, it's time consuming. And when you use that clear diamond coat or diamond gloss, whatever it is, it's like an epoxy. And you build the interior of the pen, you set it in a mold, and you add this diamond stuff to it. Then you have to vacuum out all the bubbles. And then you let it set up, and then you put it on a lathe. And then you have all these shavings all over the floor. I mean, massive shavings just to get what he wants. And he's very particular about his pens. And, I've seen how he does it. And It's a process. I'll tell you what, he's done some really neat stuff. So you want to check him out on Facebook at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. We're still working on his website, but you can get a hold of Phil at Rusty Duck. That's RustyDuck.com. Also, a big shout out to a new one is Parker Sports Shop. And Artie Parker has that one. And he's located in Piqua, Ohio. And I think that's about the middle of the western part of Ohio. He is selling all kinds of different types of bikes, mobility, carts. You know, there's little three-wheelers or four-wheelers that people who have disabilities with walking, they ride around. And he has plenty of those. But he's also got something new called UltraCell CBD Oil. And that stuff is pretty good. You might want to check it out. Give Artie a call at 937-778-0112. Talk to him about it. And tell him you heard it on Money and Change. Also, a big shout-out to Show Us, Don't Tell Us with Skills, Papa Bear, and Mike Bejas. Also, the American Woodshop with Scott and Susie Phillips. They're working on their 26th season, and they're doing the filming now. Also, L&M Radio Network with Michael Vera. And we've been with Michael for, five and a half
since
years.
Now on a grasshopper.
Oh, yeah. We started out, remember, with a half an hour. We went to an hour. And I really appreciate, you know, letting Mike have us on the show, on the network. And hopefully we're helping people out. You know, I donate my time and services to gather up the information to put out to people so that they know what's going on in the world of finance and also in preparedness and other things we talk about on the show. We just don't talk about banks and finance. We get into a lot of different stuff. Also, a big shout out to somebody, Ira, what's his name, at Open Eyes Radio Network.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. I love that guy. Oh. He's fantastic.
Is that called self-love?
I think so, yeah. No self-depreciation today. Nope, I'm all about myself today. But yeah, no, you guys can find all the archives of all the shows that I'm involved with over there at the website, openeyesnetwork.com. You can also find us on all the social media platforms out there, Open Eyes Network, on all of the places out there. And yeah, openeyesnetwork.com. I've got Money and Change. I've got the Positude Podcast. I've got Brothers in Arms, Open Eyes, and Adventures in Autism. And I'm also quite involved with the Duct Tape Nation as well. So I host his show over there on my site too. So yeah, come on over and check it out. You guys can get the archives of this show and all those others over there.
Hey, that's cool. That is cool. Open Eyes Radio Network. Check it out. Also, a big shout out to The Big Family Homestead on YouTube with Brad and Krista. I met those people, it's been probably a year and a half ago. Fantastic family. And they had a big cookout down in Morrill, Ohio, and invited me down. And I got to meet a lot of nice people down there. But Brad and Krista, it was just like being at home with friends you've known a long time. So if you get a chance, check them out. The Big Family Homestead on YouTube. They do a lot of stuff, and it's kind of interesting. Okay, well, you know, for the show today, we've got a lot of different information. And, you know, before we start, we always do a disclaimer. So the information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the Internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. The information provided is not offered as financial advice, financial planning, or for investment purposes, so you want to use this information at your own risk. Now, from the currency chart today at 4 o'clock from XE.com, Well, you know, the euro dropped a penny against the U.S. dollar. It's down to $1.15. The Great British pound dropped a penny. It's down to $1.30. That means the dollar's getting stronger. The Australian dollar stayed the same at 73 cents. The Canadian dollar stayed the same at 76 cents. And the Swiss franc is at parity with the U.S. dollar. The Japanese yen, well, it hasn't gone anywhere. The Chinese yuan, you know, it used to be 15.6 cents to the dollar. Now it's down to 14.6 cents to the dollar. You say, well, that's not much. But when you're talking millions and billions of dollars, yes, it is. The Kuwaiti dinar stayed the same at $3.30. Ethereum coin. Well, last week was $479 for one coin. It's down to $409 a coin. Bitcoin last week was $8,283 for one Bitcoin. It's down to $7,540. I can't understand why people want to get involved in cryptocurrency. I can't figure it out because you can't hold it in your hand. You see a digital number, and you have to have a special digital wallet to put it in that somebody can possibly steal from, like has been going on over the last couple of years. I just don't know why people go to cryptocurrencies. I mean, to me, I'm not sure they have gold, silver, platinum, palladium, even copper. Gold right now has dropped. Last week it was $1,222.88. It's down to $1,209.75. So if gold prices are coming down, you might want to try to buy some gold. And if you're going to do it, look at the 10-ounce coins. Look at the half-ounce coins or the quarter-ounce coins. Look at those and get them from a reputable dealer. But don't go in and start buying bars of gold. It's kind of hard to trade, barter with, and it really rips your pockets apart trying to carry one around. Also, silver. Silver went down to $15.33 from $15.46 last week. So silver is getting lower in price. You might want to consider buying some silver. And if you do, you know, I think, Ira, we've always talked about getting from your precious metals from a reputable dealer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, whether or not it's going to be KitcoSilver.com, APMEX, you know, there are a bunch of them out there, but do your research first. I'm not pushing any company at all, but if you're going to buy precious metals, make sure that they're very reputable and never, ever, ever buy any certificates, because the certificates are a piece of paper, and I think the gold and silver certificates have been sold over and over and over for, I don't know, maybe 100 times or more. What do you think, Ira?
Yeah, definitely avoid the certificates as if they were the plague. You don't want to even touch them. You're not going to get your money back. I guarantee it. Unless, especially if the crap goes down as is expected. Yeah, it's not going to work out well for you. You're going to be having a bad day, to say the least.
If you hear a big flush, you're in trouble.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, then you take a look at platinum. It went down $4 from the week before. I mean, it's $826.43 an ounce. Palladium, it went down $918.70. The dollar got stronger, and every time the dollar gets stronger and you take a look at international trade, we don't trade as much. People don't buy U.S. goods as much. It's when the dollar is a little bit cheaper, and then people start to buy from it. And the stronger the dollar gets, well, you start experiencing companies closing, people getting laid off. Of course, there are other new jobs opening, and there's plenty of employment now. The big thing is the employment is going to be businesses developed in the United States. And you know, when you take a look at banks, since we talk about banks a lot, you know, have you ever gone to a bank where there's been robots instead of people? Scary, isn't it?
I have not personally, but I would walk right back out of that bank if I saw that.
You know, I mean, could you imagine going into the bank and the teller is going,
"Hi, how are you? Can I take the money out of your wallet first? Pay your bill? Put some money in? No loans. No loans. No loans." Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think so. I mean, the closest we get here is going to an ATM. And it's put your card in, press a button, get some money. And you really don't have to talk to somebody. And that means they don't have to say, "Oh, we're running a special this week. You know, if you deposit another $1,000, we will give you a gold-colored plastic card that you can use in any ATM anywhere in the United States." No, no. I don't like to go into a bank to do business and all of a sudden they're trying to sell me all of these different things. It just doesn't work. You know, the ATM, yeah, it's my best buddy. But if the system ever crashes, guess what? The ATMs won't work. And there would be a limit on the amount of money you could take out of the ATM for any day. And there's a reason why they do that. They don't want somebody to come in and drain out somebody's account totally. They could probably get in and hack. But, you know, robots are at Nordea Bank. And there was an article by Niklas Magnusson. And he said something interesting happened in Swedish finance last quarter. The only big bank that managed to cut costs also happens to be behind one of the industry's boldest plans to replace humans with automation. Nordea Bank AB, whose chief executive officer, Kasper von Koskel, says his industry might only have half its current human workforce a decade from now. And they're cutting 6,000 of these jobs. And he said the adjustment's the only way to stay competitive in the future with automation and robots taking over from people in everything from asset management to answering calls from retail clients. That means, isn't that like robocalls? I hate those.
You know, last month there was a report that came out that more robocalls were made last month than in the previous month, the previous 3 months combined. There were over 1.4 billion robocalls estimated as being made. That is ridiculous.
Well, and you know, I have something I put on my cell phone. It is fantastic. And I think Clark Howard had it on his show. It's called Hiya. H-I-Y-A. You can download the app, put it in, and if a call comes in that's a suspected spam, it says spam. Do you want to accept the call or do you want to block it? If it's a telemarketer, it'll say this is a telemarketer. Do you want to accept it or do you want to block it? And I only get one call a week. And guess who that's from?
Is it from Elizabeth at Cardholder Services?
Oh, you get her too? It's amazing.
How about Katie just... with the resorts?
Yes. Oh, there's, yeah. Hi, I'm Jason and I'm a trip advisor with, you know, I get that on the regular phone, you know, but on the cell phone I get, I'm driving down the road and they go, "Oh, Miss Usher. You buy from USA Pharmacy." And I'm like, come on.
you know, leave me alone. Take me off your subscription list or whatever. You know, don't call me.
What gets annoying and what I think the FCC really should get involved with is the fact that these people are using, you know, computer systems to do spoofing of phones, you know, of people's phone numbers. I've gotten 3 calls from people saying, why did you call me? And this kind of stuff, because they're spoofing the numbers when the calls are being made. So it looks like it's coming in from a local number, for instance, but, you know, it's actually not. And then if you do like, you know, the backtracking of the caller ID of it, for instance, there was a call that came in, you know, one of these robocalls that came in, and they were spoofed a number, and I dialed it back, and it was a school, an elementary school. So, you know, I mean, they're using these computer softwares to spoof those numbers. The FCC really needs to get involved with this, because this is happening more and more. And as this stuff, you know, as the tech for it keeps progressing, it's just going to get worse and worse. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's totally crazy. And like I tell them when they call from USA Pharmacy, I tell them, hey, you know, I'm on a do not call list. Don't call me again. Take me off your subscription. And then I hang up. And then they call me back again.
Yeah, because they don't even have a subscription thing. See, what happens, and this is you know, a little off topic. I'll be really quick with it. But, you know, what ends up happening is you'll get a call that's coming in, and then, you know, it's a hang-up call, right? There's nobody there on the other end of it, but, you know, you picked up and answered the phone. Well, what they're doing is they're using what's called demon dialers that they will, you know, just dial a block of numbers to see if anybody answers. And if somebody answers, then they mark that phone number as being an active number. So if it's a disconnected number, they mark it off the list as being something not to call. But if it's one that somebody picked up the phone with, then they know that that number is a valid number that they can then make use of. So there are companies that are out there that, you know, quote unquote companies, individuals, whatever you want to say, that actually use these demon dialers to look for phone numbers in blocks. And then they sell those phone numbers on the dark web as a way to make a little bit of cash. They'll sell them for, you know, 2 or 3 cents a piece. And you might not think that's a lot of money, but when they come up with a list of, you know, 20,000 valid phone numbers, we're talking about a decent amount of cash. So then these robo dialers, they buy these numbers from these people and say, okay, well, we know that these numbers work, so we can start spamming them.
And they do. See what you learn on this show? I mean, we don't just cover banks. We don't just cover finance and scandals and stuff like that. We cover a lot of different things.
It fits with financing, though, because these are all scams. Every one of them is a scam looking for your money.
Oh, speaking of scams, JP Morgan says it's the subject of an SEC probe of ADR abuses. This came up. David Henry wrote the article in Reuters. And so J.P. Morgan Chase & Company said on Wednesday it's among banks and security dealers being investigated by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for their handling of so-called pre-released American depository receipts between 2011 and 2015. The disclosure made in a regular quarterly filing by J.P. Morgan comes after the SEC said on July 20th that Deutsche Bank had agreed to pay nearly $75 million to settle its part of a continuing investigation into mishandling of securities. Now, American depository receipts are U.S. securities that represent foreign shares of a foreign company. They require a corresponding number of foreign shares to be held in custody at a depository bank, and under certain conditions, the SEC allows a pre-release of ADRs before the corresponding shares have been deposited. In the case of Deutsche Bank, the SEC said the bank had improperly provided thousands of pre-released ADRs and failed to prevent security law violations, which when the instruments were borrowed or lent, and failures to properly handle the transaction leave ADRs ripe for potential abuse at the expense of the ADR holders, the SEC said. Now, JP Morgan has been cooperating with the investigation, and their spokesman declined to say anything further. Well, Wells Fargo, our good buddy, it's ongoing with these guys. It's like, I think Clark Howard says they're a criminal enterprise pretending to be a bank, if I remember that phrase. Well, Wells Fargo is going to pay $2.1 billion for a role in housing, in the housing bubble. And that's according to Associated Press. And it said Wells Fargo agreed Wednesday to pay a $2.1 billion fine to settle allegations it misrepresented the types of mortgages it sold to investors during the housing bubble that ultimately led to the 2008 financial crisis. And the amount is relatively smaller than the fines paid by Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, and other big banks in the years following the financial crisis to settle similar allegations. Wells Fargo is one of the last remaining big banks to settle charges related to its role in the subprime mortgage crisis. The government accused Wells and many other big banks of understating the risk and quality of the mortgages they sold to investors at the height of the housing bubble. In Wells's case between 2005 and 2007, these investors bought up tens of billions of dollars in mortgages from Wells and other banks and experienced massive losses when borrowers failed to repay and housing prices collapsed nationwide. Department of Justice said Wells Fargo sold at least 73,500 loans that had poor underwriting standards to investors, and half of those loans defaulted, resulting in billions of dollars in losses to investors. Always check out your banks. Never, ever, ever go into a bank that's had toxic asset relief problems. Bailouts. I'd steer clear of them. I'd find a farm bank. I'd find a some type of a good savings and loan. I'd find a credit bureau. Anything but the big banks. It scares me. You know, I mean, they can go down, take your money with it, and it's insured by FDIC for $250,000. Okay, so what happens if you have $1 million in there? You're not going to get it back. And the $250,000, they have up to 9 years to pay you back on that. So check your banks out. Also, if you go to moneyandchange.weebly.com, you can check out the banks by going to the National Debt Bank and Currency Information page. Click on that and go to bankrate.com. Find out how good your bank is. And if it's not a 4 or 5 star bank, I'd be asking a lot of questions. So much for the bank scandals. Just watch where you do your banking. Always know your banker. You know, there was a report that came out by Eric Peters from One River Asset Management, and he said China's economy is held together by capital controls. If those fail, the system fails. And he said China's the real strategic threat. They've cooped or co-opted much of the U.S. political and financial system. The best way to bring Beijing to its knees is by running a tight monetary policy in the U.S. China has the world's most over-leveraged financial fragile system. In 2008, China's total debt to GDP, that's gross domestic product, was 140%. It's now 300% while GDP is slowing and the economy is held together by capital controls. If they fail, everything fails. The Chinese are basically dying to get their money out. And they're not investing in the U.S. anymore. They want to get out of it. It's going to be a rough economic climate. I mean, Ira, I don't know about you, but, you know, you take a look at a lot of things that are going on, and we're going to start getting into inflation. And it's just not over the trade wars. There's a lot of stuff that it's gone on for a long time. And as a result, we're going to have higher prices. And Zero Hedge came out with an article that said why Americans are about to experience sharply higher prices. And a few weeks ago, they said Société Générale, or SocGen, that's a French bank, a big one, asked what is arguably the most important question relating to the global trade wars. Are tariffs inflationary or deflationary? Inflationary, short-term. Deflationary, medium-term. It appears that the short-term part has arrived because after several rounds of tit-for-tat tariffs and retaliations between U.S. and China, American consumers are about to be hit with sharply higher prices as tariffs on industrial metals put pressure on U.S. manufacturers. Tariffs on additional imported products from China have added even more costs for producers, which are now being aggressively passed through to the customer. Because that's what happens. You slap a tax or a tariff on something, and it's going to be passed on to you. Whoever buys it last, they're going to get stuck with it. And according to Matt Gold, who's a former deputy assistant U.S. trade representative for North America under President Obama, said you're going to see higher prices passed on to consumers almost immediately. And the way that it works is that a U.S. importer pays the taxes to the custom duties or custom tariffs to the U.S. Treasury. And of course, that's going to take to affect the sale price, and whatever price at which the exporter sells to the importer is going to lower because of the importer has to pay duties in addition to paying the purchase price. And American consumers whose soaring costs, you might as well say roaring, would be spread really across the board with Chinese retaliatory tariffs we've imposed on those $34 billion of different goods coming from China. And it's a very broad array of consumer products and industrial products. So everything from the person who walks into Walmart is going to pay higher prices, as well as the manufacturer buying material imports for their manufacturing processes. And it's going to be that way. But eventually, things will decrease. Trade wars are not good. I'm not really in favor of trade wars because what happens is the consumer eventually gets nailed, no matter what. And that forces you to learn how to save money if you can. The cost of living goes way up. And then you have a situation where people, the farmers, for example, that sell soybeans, there's been tariffs on them. So, you know, President Trump said, okay, we'll give them $18 billion in relief. Okay. But we wouldn't have to do that if we didn't have a tariff. And who buys the soybeans? The Chinese. Now they're forced to go someplace else. They say, well, we're not going to buy from the Americans anymore. We're not going to buy any soybeans, corn, wheat, cotton, dairy, pork producers. I imagine all the Chinese restaurants over in China, you know, no pork, no pork, chicken, chicken, chicken. Trade wars just don't work. And that's a dumb thing. I mean, if anything, it causes the U.S. to have more business redevelop here. That's the good side. The bad side is who gets stuck with it? The U.S. consumers. There was also another article in Zero Hedge about Americans to pay 4% more for diapers, tissues, and toilet paper. Did you know that as a result of the rising tariffs and the trade war, various U.S. companies had passed on rising input costs to consumers, resulting in higher prices? Well, the first industry hit by higher prices was in discretionary purchases such as recreational vehicles. Winnebago Industries warned that the recreation vehicle boom seen in the last several years could have popped. We've had to go to the market a bit more frequently and a bit more aggressively with some price increases as of late, said Michael Happe, H-A-P-P-E, chief executive of recreational vehicle manufacturer Winnebago Industries, Incorporated. The CEO of the Iowa-based company said that trade tensions and rising inflation could lead to a gloomy outlook for the company. Uncertainty is never a great thing for the economy, and more noise that occurs, there's a risk that consumers will press pause. Even Polaris Industries, according to the report, announced it was hiking prices on its vehicles, including boats, motorcycles, snowmobiles, to cover $15 million of the $40 million in tariff-related charges to pay for steel, aluminum, and components from China this year. Well, you take a look at James Quincy from Coca-Cola. He said that tariffs are going to inflate drink prices. Clearly, it's disruptive for us. It's disruptive for our customers. He believes distributors and retailers will pass along increased prices to consumers in the third quarter. And now, Procter & Gamble, good old P&G in Cincinnati, Ohio, joined the tariffs club, warning that its profit margin is getting squeezed by higher cost and rising competition. And a result, the prices of Bounty paper towels, Pampers diapers, Charmin toilet paper, and Puffs tissues are going up. In its quarterly earnings report, P&G unveiled that the cost of Pampers would go up by an average of about 4%, raising the price of a 128-count pack of Swaddlers for newborns from $34.99 at Target to about $36.39. And other paper staples such as Bounty, Charmin's, Puffs will see a 5% increase on average. And the company said it was raising prices to help offset disappointing earnings results and another 15% slide in profits to $1.89 billion in the second quarter from $2.22 billion in the same period last year. So get ready. Prices are going to go up. Ira, have you been to Wally World lately?
No, I avoid that place like the plague.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because of Wall Martians?
Yeah, the people of Walmart, yeah.
Oh, I've seen some winners in there. And I'm like, am I actually a Walmartian? And I'm thinking, no, I don't fit that category. And if you get a chance, go on the web and type in Walmartian and you'll see all kinds of pictures. Trust me, I've seen them. Not as bad as the ones that are portrayed on the internet, but some pretty rough ones. But, you know, Walmart gets a lot of stuff from China, Vietnam, and other countries. But the Chinese are raising their prices on everything. Man, I'll tell you, I was in Wally World this afternoon. And I took my dad out to lunch, and we went over to Wally World. We went in, and he was looking for a thermometer for an oven. Needless to say, we got the last one there. And other shelves are starting to go bare. Maybe it's just in between shipments. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, it's getting bare. Now, the food, that's a different story. But a lot of the other stuff. And, oh, you know, have you ever heard of Huawei?
I've heard the term. I'm not sure which one that one is, though.
H-U-A-W-E-I. They are the second largest phone producer, cell phone producer in China. And I'll tell you what, the U.S. doesn't want them coming in because of their intrusiveness. But I was at Wally World and I bought a Huawei tablet. And I'll tell you what, it is real close to an iPad. And it was reasonably priced. Fantastic graphics, fantastic sound. I mean, I love it. But it's Huawei, Huawei. And you want to check it out if you can still get it. It was a really decent price. And it's good for 13 hours of use, which is excellent. But, you know, Wally World, I mean, Walmart, they're experiencing some goods that are going to be either higher in price or they're not going to be buying as much. So you want to check it out between now and Christmas to see what's happening. And, you know, a lot of prices and stuff that's out there, it gets scary. There was an article by Ted Dabrowski, D-A-B-R-O-W-S-K-I, from wirepoints.com. And he said, leaving Illinois, how simple math chased away a village mayor and his family. And if there's one guy you'd think would succumb to the, or wouldn't succumb to the pressures of living in Illinois, it's Lakewood Mayor Paul Serwatka, S-E-R-W-A-T-K-A. He's a reformer and a fighter, and in the past year, he succeeded where most politicians refused to go. He lowered the village of Lakewood's property taxes by 10% and eliminated the TIF district, going against the trend of higher spending and bigger tax bills in communities across the state. And he did all that without cutting services. He was showing Illinoisans what reform-oriented leadership could look like. But every family that has chosen to flee Illinois in recent years hit a breaking point, and the Serwatka family hit his. For him, it was the risk he wouldn't be able to care financially for his growing family. You can't blame him and those families that have already left, said the report. More people are realizing it's just too expensive to live in Illinois. And for others, good-paying working class and manufacturing jobs have disappeared. And yet for others, they are tired of being taken for granted and mistreated by their politicians. At the core of the decision for many families to leave the burden of higher property taxes, they've become punitive in too many parts of the state. And that's true even in Lakewood, a city of nearly 5,000 people, located in McHenry County. Residents in that county pay some of the state's and the nation's highest effective tax rates, measured by a percentage of household incomes. And Serwatka has four young children to think about, ages 3 to 8. And he did the basic math that many Illinois families are doing in their kitchens or family rooms, and they're comparing what their property taxes are in Illinois to what they could be in other states and what they could do with all the money they save. Well, for Serwatka, his comparison city was Decatur, Alabama. And there his family found 10 acres and a house that's 25% bigger than their current Illinois home, all at roughly the same cost. The Alabama house also has access to a private lake shared by 60 homeowners. And his home in Decatur is only 20 miles from Huntsville, which is booming in all kinds of ways. Oh, I know that. I've been to Decatur. I've been to Huntsville. It's a good area to live in. Just don't use your GPS down there, because you're always going to be 5 miles off for some weird reason. It happened to me. But still, Decatur, Alabama is a nice place. So is Huntsville. Huntsville is beautiful. Well, what are the Alabama property taxes going to cost them? Just $2,200 a year. That's a lot lower than the $15,400 he's paying on the home in Lakewood. If Sirotka saves that $13,000 difference every year and invests it at 6% annually for the next 20 years, he'll have accumulated savings of more than $600,000. Well, Sirotka and his wife just couldn't ignore that. And, you know, what's bad is Illinois politicians continue to push property tax rates to record levels. And they're the highest in the nation. They're double the rate in Missouri and three times higher than those in Indiana. The median property tax rate in Illinois is 2.67%. They're the first in the country. Then it's followed by New York, New Hampshire, New Jersey, down to Texas at 2.17%. They're the fifth. And then you have Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, Kentucky. Kentucky's at 1.4%. And Indiana's 0.88%. And they're the 38th. And that's according to WirePoints. Now, Sirotka is confident he delivered on the promises he made when he took office, and residents who were looking for reforms, lower taxes, and more respect from their politicians got exactly that from him. But in the end, the savings he produced as the mayor of a small town were enough to offset his tax increases coming from the school district and the other myriad of local governments, not to mention the state itself. And those taxes now are so high, they're chasing out even the reformers, those bold enough to buck the system in Illinois. So no wonder people are leaving. You want to check out other states. You could probably save a lot of money. Remember when Finland had a guaranteed income? That was back a couple of years ago.
Sure do.
And what happened to that, Ira?
Failed like a hot brick trying to fall downhill.
I've never heard that term. I might have heard like a lead balloon, but never like a hot brick falling downhill. It must be an Indiana thing.
Probably.
Probably. Yep, there she comes, falling downhill, burning up everything in its path. Well, I'll tell you what. CBC in Canada, on their news, they had a thing. There was a plan to scrap Ontario's basic income pilot, and it was shameful, according to an NDP leader. It said the Ontario basic income pilot project is coming to an end, said Children, Community, and Social Services Minister Lisa McLeod. That's M-A-C-L-E-O-D. And she said Tuesday that the project was expensive and clearly not the answer for Ontario families. She said the ministry would have more details at a later date. Close to 4,000 people were enrolled in the basic income pilot program in Thunder Bay, Lindsay, Hamilton, Brantford, and Brant County. And the pilot project started in April of 2017, and it was originally set to last 3 years and explore the effectiveness of providing a basic income to those living on low incomes, whether they were working or not. And under the project, a single person could have received up to about $17,000 a year, minus half of any income they earned. The couple could have received up to $24,000 a year. People with disabilities could have received an additional $6,000. During the announcement, McLeod was asked what data the province was citing when it said the program wasn't working, and McLeod didn't offer any examples and instead said it was just not sustainable. Where are they getting their money? That's my question. Sounds like socialism to me, and socialism is great until other people's money run out. And that's what's happening there. And I remember hearing about California. One of the cities in California was going to come up with a basic guaranteed income. I'm thinking, hey, if it failed in Finland, it failed in Ontario, Canada, what makes it going to be a success in California? It's not. I mean, you go to Canada. Ira, have you been to Canada lately?
No, not for years.
Well, I haven't either. The last time I was in Canada was back during the Vietnam War. And the Canadian border person looked at me and said, "And how long are we going to be in Canada?" I said, "I'm just going over and shopping and getting something to eat and come back to the States." And the look in his eyes were like, "Right." Well, hey, me and my parents were driving over there. We'd been to Detroit. We went over to Windsor. We went into a restaurant and we sat at the table. We ordered some Canadian food, which was kind of bland. And above the bar was a picture of the Queen and Prince with a dirty, foul look on their face. Like, don't you be drinking at the bar. It's not good for you. That was way back when. And their taxes there are higher. I had friends that live up in Canada and their taxes were higher. I mean, you go into a Taco Bell and you want to get a couple of tacos. And next thing you know, two tacos, $5. In some odd sense. And then the drink and so forth. That's expensive. But they have to pay for national health care. And the national health care in Canada is not that good. It's even worse in England. And to think Obama wanted to do it here, I mean, it's just totally stupid. Totally stupid. Why people don't learn from history is, it kills me, you know? It really does. Well, you know, if you go to moneyandchange.weebly.com and you check out the articles that we have in the blog, there's one on the middle class collapsing. Is it collapsing? Is there a wealth transfer coming? Two big pension funds admit a big problem. Will all hell break loose? How about dismal budget forecast? Got a plan B? Well, if you go to moneyandchange.weebly.com and check it out, you'll see what I'm talking about there. A lot of articles. Also, for a little humor, you can also go to Money and Change in the humor page, and you have the Wrinkle City Gazette. You can also go to the preparedness page, and you can see the latest preppers to-do list for August. And there are over 31 different things. And one of the biggest ones, you like peanut butter and jelly?
I do, yeah.
It says, buy up peanut butter and jelly for your pantry. You know, take a look at the back-to-school emergency scenarios, where to meet, what to do, how to pick up your kids. You know, how to fix a flat on your car or your camper. You know, check your generator and fuel if you got a generator. I don't. Stock up on canned vegetables. I mean, there's a whole list there, and there each month there's a different list. And it's fantastic to see the list there, so you want to use it. Well, if you go into the humor section for Wrinkle City, you might be from Wrinkle City if you have 9 indoor pets but no indoor plumbing. You might be from Wrinkle City if you have the 4th of July in 2 different places with hillbilly bands and women with tattoos hustling men. And you might be from Wrinkle City if you're related to the stripper at your bachelor party.
Indeed.
Well, yes. And the other one is, you might be from Wrinkle City when you look forward to reading the Wrinkle City Gazette.
That is true.
That goes out to 22 different states and 2 foreign countries. Now that's fantastic. So, you know what we have to do? We have to sign off and say sayonara. And it's been a great week so far. And hopefully the information that we passed on to people here are going to help you. And if you go to moneyandchange.weebly.com, everything is there to help you through the week or the year or the month, whatever. Check it out. Tell your friends about the show. And with that, Ira, that's all I've got. Hopefully people donate. And if you go to L&M Radio Network and you click on the donate button, that will definitely help. I don't get paid a cent. I donate my time and my research. With that, Ira, have a good week.
Thank you, Stu, for everything that you do. Everybody out there, have a great week. Be safe out there and have fun. And we'll talk to you again real soon.